ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
God sent them strong delusion. You see? They rejected Jesus Christ, and God's just given them what they wanted. It was their choice. Yes, abandoned by God because of the choices they made to reject the gospel. Condemned by God because of the choices they made to reject the gospel. But make no mistake about it, God's desire is for all men to be saved. That's his desire. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 verses 4 through 6 that God, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That's the heart of God. He wants people to be saved. But Paul in Romans 1, verses 18 through 25, tells us the problem here. It says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You see, they're being judged for the rejection of Jesus, and they're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire apart from him, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's called utter darkness. Yeah, any place apart that is void of God, it's going to be completely dark, because God is light and there's no darkness in him at all. But you take God out of the picture, there is no light. I don't know if you've ever, you know, gone to some of these caves where, you know, you travel down into them and they tell you, we are turning the lights off for a few minutes. Hold on to your children. You may want to hold on to your wife as well, because it's going to get pitch black in here. And me, you know, Mr. Tough Guy, I'm thinking, what's the big deal, right? They're turning off the lights. It is completely dark. I could not even see Julie, who was right in front of me. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, outer darkness, no light at all. That's a world. That's a life apart from Christ. And it's all because they rejected the love of the truth and believed the lie. And it wasn't just one time. You know, God is so gracious and merciful. I mean, look at our own lives. How many times did we turn from Jesus and reject him? People sharing their faith with us, and we laugh at them and mock them. And one day, all of a sudden, God gets a hold of our heart, and we come to that saving faith. But they had reached the point of really of no return, and they believe the lie. And it's not a lie. There's lots of lies out there, right? This is something specific again. It's the lie. What's the lie? I think it's the same one that was used in the Garden of Eden. I don't think Satan's that smart, really. He doesn't have to change his ways. It's the same stuff. In Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. This blows me away, because what Satan spoke to Eve in the Garden of Eden, he's doing the same garbage today. He challenged the word of God, as God indeed said. And we see that. you know, from redefining what God's word says to adding to it, taking away from God's word, there is a challenge to God's word, just as we see here in the Garden of Eden. And from the challenge of God's word, we see confusion on Eve's part. And that's what false teaching, false doctrine does. It confuses people. And out of the confusion, we see Eve what? Add to God's word. Oh, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Did God say you shouldn't touch it? No, he said, don't eat it. He didn't say anything about touching it. So with the confusion brought about by Satan, she added to God's word. And again, that is so dangerous to do. People do that today. They add to God's word. Oh, you know that television is evil and God does not want you to watch it. Thou shalt not watch television. Well, you're adding to God's word. Now, if God spoke to you personally and said, Joe, don't get rid of your TV, then I need to do that. But it's not a law. It's not for everyone. It's my problem. I've told you before, for me, secular music, rock and roll, I should say, I love rock and roll. And I can't listen to it because I will get sucked right back into it because I love it. I don't want to go down that path. I want to be wise. And then Satan tells Eve something very interesting. Don't worry, because there's no judgment. You will not surely die. Come on, get real. You could do that. Do what you want. There's no sin. And if there's no sin, there's no judgment. Sound familiar? Because we see it in churches today. And it all leads to this, the lie. You will be like God. There's the lie. And that is the false teaching, the false doctrine, the doctrines of demons that the world, I believe, is going to embrace. And since we are gods, at least that's what Satan was saying and many believe, we'll know good from evil. In other words, we'll decide what's right and wrong. We could do that because we're gods. And I think what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 4, nails it. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. There's always been, since the time of Jesus, even before there was false messiahs, before Jesus' time, those that claim to be Christ even today. But I don't think that's what Jesus is speaking of here. I don't think that's his point. I believe that there's something that he is hitting on that really blows me away. The Greek word for many is polos. And it speaks of a very great number, really as in millions and millions of people, not just a select few. And they're going to claim to be God. There are those few who claim to be Christ, claim to be God, but this is far different than a few, guys. Look at what the New Age is teaching. Look at what other religions are teaching. And when you look at even some in the church today are teaching, this is the common thread of man being God, having the God consciousness in him. That is a doctrine of demons, and it's what's spoken of in the Garden of Eden to Eve by Satan. It's what's permeating our world today. You will be like God. And as Paul concluded this section, he's shown the Thessalonian believers and us that day of the Lord has not begun yet. Why? Because the departure of the church, the rapture of the church, has not taken place yet. The restrainer is not removed, the Holy Spirit working in the lives of believers. And the emergence of the man of sin, the Antichrist, hasn't come on the scene yet. And it must have brought him great joy and encouragement. The Antichrist comes on the scene after the church is removed. So the church could not be been raptured at this point. These believers were lied to. Look at verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In these verses, we once again see this dilemma of predestination and free will. God has chosen us. Well, how do I know? Because I've received him as Lord and Savior. If you reject him, then God hasn't chosen you. It's as simple as that. But understand that the Bible very clearly teaches that God, yes, chooses people for salvation, but God doesn't choose people for hell. What do I mean? God has foreknowledge. He knows who's going to get saved. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to pick you, you, and you to be saved. And that means if he did, that means you, you, and you, he had to pick not to be saved. You can't, you know, it's kind of like, you know, growing up in school, you know, you get a bunch of people together in gym class, and then you pick your teams, and you always pick the best players. Well, I'm taking you, you, and you. Well, that means you didn't pick the other ones because they're losers, right? Is that what God does? No, because we're all losers. He wouldn't choose anyone then. So that means God knows ahead of time who's going to be saved. And ultimately, it's our choice. Jesus says, come unto me. That's a choice. I get to come to Jesus, right? And I think we need to understand that. God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And he's very patient. He's very long-suffering. But again, it's our choice. If we don't accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and we get sent to hell and eventually the lake of fire, we can't say, God, you did this to me. No. That was a choice. God did everything possible to save you. You rejected it. And this is where you're at. You're accountable. In fact, in John 6, Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Again, the Holy Spirit is with people today. Just like Jesus said in John, in the Gospel of John, he will be with you. What was he saying to the disciples? The Holy Spirit is with you, drawing you to me, to Jesus, and he will be in you. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing today. He's drawing out a bride for Christ. And that opportunity is for everyone. And I love what Jesus said in John 10, verses 27 through 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So if you get saved, you're in the hand of Jesus and you're in the Father's hand, and you have eternal life, can you get out? No, you're not. In fact, it wouldn't be eternal life then. It would be, well, if you hang in there, you'll get it, but if you don't, you won't. No, we're in the hand of Jesus. No one's going to snatch us out of his hand. Aren't you thankful for that? I mean, hallelujah, praise God. I am saved by the power of God, not by the power of Joe, because I have no strength. I have no power to do anything, but he does, and he can save me. And the work he began in me, he will complete. In fact, Peter says that our inheritance or salvation is secure in Christ. It doesn't perish. It's undefiled. It never fades away. And God has a place reserved for me in heaven. Do you think when we get up to the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven that there's going to be a lot of empty chairs, even though they're reserved? Oh, this one says Joe Guglielmo, but where is he? No, it's reserved for me because I'm going to be there. Every place will be filled. Now, our salvation, many tend to believe that we have to be good, we have to, you know, do this, do that to be saved. The question I have then is the work that Jesus did isn't finished. He did his part, now we have to finish it. But that's not what the scriptures say. In fact, when Jesus ascended up into heaven, what did he do? He sat down at the right hand of the Father. Why? Because the work was done. When he was hanging on the cross and he cried out to Tetelestai, paid in full, it is finished, that's a done deal. We are justified when we come to Christ. And what that means is all our sins are taken away. All our past sins, present sins, future sins are gone. There is no record of them anymore because they've been paid in full. But there is the sanctification process, where God is working in our lives. You know, there are some people think, hey, you know, once you come to Christ, you never sin again. Like, oh my gosh, I'm in serious trouble. How discouraging that would be. But that's just a pride issue on their part, which is a sin. So I guess they haven't made it yet either. No, we got these bodies of flesh. Think about it. If these bodies now don't sin anymore, guess what? We could be taken up into heaven in these bodies, right? We can't. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because these are corrupt. So they'll be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But throughout our life, as a Christian, is a sanctification process. Well, God is working in us, removing that garbage from our lives, purging it. That garbage from our lives. I mean, haven't you ever noticed that, you know, you think you're doing good in a certain area, and then all of a sudden something happens, it's like, ah, I thought I had that. Not yet, son. You got a ways to go. You got to give this to me. I'm just showing you what's in your heart. You still need to deal with this. That's how much he loves us. I like what David said in Psalm 119. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Yeah. And for these Thessalonian believers now, guys, they didn't have to fear that they were in the day of the Lord. In fact, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we have ahead of us. Yeah, this world's getting tougher and tougher as a Christian. You know, as the light of God shines in us and shines out into this world, it exposes the darkness. And the darkness doesn't like it. And so they fight against it. They try to extinguish the light. Look at verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, here's the problem. You know, people hear traditions and they kind of freak out because many take them to unbiblical conclusions. What this means, what Paul's talking about, is the truth of God passed on from one person or one person, either by, you know, word of mouth or by written epistles. It's what God had inspired, and it never contradicts itself. Not at all. And God's word is complete. We don't have new doctrine or teaching. Now, we see within the Roman Catholic Church that this traditions mean truth that didn't make it into the pages of Scripture. Extra-biblical traditions that were given to the apostles and handed down through the centuries to the church through the popes. Guys, that's not from God. So what we have from the Roman Catholic Church is doctrine that's not found in the Bible, but which they affirm to be the oral traditions of the church, and they feel they're every bit as inspired as that's than what's found in the Scriptures, sometimes even more so. Teachings like purgatory, the infallibility of the popes, the indulgences, the efficacy of the sacraments to purchase installments of grace that earn a person's salvation. You know, these and many other Roman Catholic doctrines contradict what the written word of God says. They're traditions of men. And Jesus condemned the Pharisees for that very thing. They adhered to the traditions of men which violated the word of God. And we even see it within the Protestant church where people are getting new revelations from God and they're supposedly on the same level as the word of God. They're not. They're not. But many believe them. We need to be careful. You know, I've said it how many times. Bring everything that you hear into the light of God's word and let God's Spirit show you if it's true or false. If it contradicts the word of God, it's not of God. It's as simple as that. It's not real complicated. But again, today, people get offended when you show them. Well, I'm sorry, that's not in the word of God. Well, they get mad at you. They're not really mad at you. They're really mad at God because they're trying to contradict him. Well, look at verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and give us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish or strengthen you in every good word and work. To kind of put it in our vernacular, Paul's basically saying this. You know what, guys? Hang in there. Chill out. God is on our side. He's coming back for us before he pours out his wrath upon a Christ-rejecting world. Hang in there. Stand strong. Stand firm. In fact, listen to what Paul said. This is from the Amplified Bible, Romans 8, verses 35 and 30 through 39. Who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? Shall suffering and affliction and tribulation, or calamity and distress, or persecution or hunger, or destitution or peril or sword? Even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all the day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. For I am persuaded beyond doubt, am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Aren't those comforting words, guys? Nothing's going to separate us from the love of God. But doesn't Satan tell you that God doesn't love you anymore? Look what you did. Look at how you behaved. Look at what you said. How could God love you? Who are you going to believe? God's word. Nothing will separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he already paid the price. He paid for your sins. It's a done deal. Don't let the enemy mess you up. God is faithful. And for us, the great hope, looking for the blessed hope, glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't retreat. We need to forge ahead. Because as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing your toil, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. How many of you have felt, what's the use? It doesn't seem like anything's happening. Let me give you this to think about. When you think nothing is happening, probably some of the biggest things are happening. Because you don't know what God is doing in people's lives. You don't know necessarily what he's doing in your life. And then he shows you. I've seen it so many times in my life. God's working. I shared with you before when I was back in Illinois and working in the open heart unit. And, man, I get patient back from having heart surgery and tubes everywhere and ventilators and balloon pumps and all these things. IVs with drugs that you got to titrate according to blood pressure and stuff. And I just got this patient back, and one of my buddies, another nurse, came into the room to help me. And we started talking, and he was talking about the Lord, and I was complaining for months. Lord, no one asks about the Lord. No one wants to hear. It seems like everything is so dry and dead here. And I was kind of upset. And all of a sudden, he starts asking questions. And it was about 20 minutes I'm in there. And the balloon pump, it's a little bit lower than this. It's probably about that high. And I'm there, and I'm just sharing with him about the Lord and going over things. And I'm holding on to the balloon pump like this. And he goes, Joe, it looks like you're standing behind a podium preaching. And I just kind of laughed. I'm like, Lord, you are so awesome. Thank you for that encouragement, because I felt like no one was cared about anything. But the toil, the work I was doing was not in vain. God was still working. I just needed to be patient. We need to be careful, because in these days, deception plays a big part. And don't fall prey to the lies of Satan, but let the truths of God set you free. And I realize it's been a lot of information tonight. And you can go on the internet, you can get my notes, you can look at the stuff, especially about this falling away, what that's all about, and dig into it more if you're unsure. But I think it's really important when you study the scriptures, always look at the context. What is Paul writing about? And he doesn't necessarily change his mind, from one verse to another necessarily. And I think right here he's still talking about the rapture of the church in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'll just close with this from Revelation 3:10. Because again, Paul's encouraging these believers, and I think the Lord does so in Revelation 3:10. He said to the church in Philadelphia, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. God will keep us from this hour of trial, this tribulation period that's coming on the whole earth to test those who dwell on the earth. But we are not appointed for wrath. We're going home to be with the Lord. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I just pray that your spirit would just clarify these things in our hearts so that we're not confused about these things, because you don't want us to be, Lord. You've put these things in your word to help us to understand the things that are coming to pass so that we're not afraid, we're not scared, we're not confused. But Lord, we can share the good news of Jesus, knowing the things that are coming, that you are coming very soon. And Lord, to share the good news of Jesus with people. Thank you for being our God, and thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, who not only comforts our hearts and encourages us and gives us wisdom, but just, Lord, helps us to walk in the power we need to live the kind of lives we need to live. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.